I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Mel.
I'm Helen.
I'm Janet.
And I'm Kevin.
It has taken over our chat groups, social media feeds, and TV screens. Blink Empire on Netflix. Everyone's talking about it, and regardless of your personal opinion of it, it's undeniable that Blink Empire has created a wave in pop culture.
As residents of Los Angeles working on projects promoting Asian American representation, we actually met Kevin, one of the cast members of the show, years ago through our friends at Wong Fu Productions, whose shorts Kevin has acted in. And Kevin actually hosted a gala where ABG received our very first Cultural Impact Award from APEX in 2019.
So we are more familiar with the Kevin before Bling Empire, the Kevin who worked as a model and fitness coach while running his own production company called Taejin Entertainment LLCs, the Kevin who has been an advocate of redefining Asian masculinity for many years and has been a motivational speaker at places like TEDx and Google about reclaiming Asian male sexuality in America. So we were really excited to see him land such a large-scale opportunity with Bling Empire, and after watching the show, we could not wait to get him on the podcast to talk about it. Please welcome to Asian Boss Girl, Kevin Kreider.
Man, so honored. Ladies, thanks, ladies.
Thanks. Thanks so much for being here. Okay, so let's jump right in, Kevin. How did you even get involved with Bling Empire? Can you walk us through the process?
Yeah, so it was very out of nowhere. It was really out of left field because I was back in Philadelphia. I kind of hit like this rock bottom with my career and my life. And I was just like, what am I going to do here in Philly? Like, I love it, but I just don't see myself going anywhere anymore. And I did a Huffington Post video. I don't know if you guys remember this, but it was You're Good Looking for an Asian Guy. And it was just like about my life as an Asian male model and dating experiences for Huffington Post. And Kelly actually watched the video and she's like, you really have these problems? Like, you should come out of here to LA. And found out she's a producer and she was like, I want to introduce you to some of my friends out here. And if you ever come out there. And so I did. I visited and I met people, and Kane was one of the first guys I met. And I still remember he had these ridiculous red ruby shoes on. And I was just like, these are going to be my new friends you want me to hang out with? Okay. And literally, we connected on so many different levels, like Buddhism and just where we are in our life, like starting over and not having like a secure financial net behind us. And I was just moving out there, so we really connected in that way. And just shortly afterwards, I found out from Kelly, she's like, you know, one of our guys dropped out, and would you want to be in the show? And I was just like, you know, what is it? And they're like, you know, think Crazy Rich Asians but real life. And I was like, I can imagine that, but what do you want me to do? You want me to like hold their purses and their bags or something? Like, well, you know, that's a little humiliating. That she's like, no, you can be in it. Like, just be yourself. You seem to get along with everybody here anyway. And that's kind of how it started.
Oh, wow. Wait, and then before this, you're an actor too. We saw you act in Wong Fu shorts. Yeah. Have you done reality TV shows, like series before? And like, what did you do to prepare for this role?
I auditioned for reality TV shows before, and I got turned down by each one of them. I remember that. I was like so heartbroken when, you know, like an MTV audition didn't go through and I made it to the final casting. I was like, oh, this sucks. So I auditioned. I never got it. Thank God I didn't get it, though, because I don't think I would have gotten this. But and I never thought I'd do reality TV because, firstly, I never saw reality TV with Asians in it anyway, or Asian men especially, or Asians that I wanted to like aspire to be like. So I didn't think it was possible. And then even though I was auditioning for it, because I never got any, I was like, well, I guess it's just they don't like Asians in reality TV. And then I got this opportunity, and I was like, I remember my acting coach, like back then, he told us, like, this is a long time ago, this is 10 years ago. And he's like, you know, reality TV, it's not real acting. You know, it's like, they do it for the fame. And so I'm like going into this, I'm like, oh, you're going to so disappoint him. It's just like, but I really want to do it. Mm-hmm. I really want to be in this show. Mm-hmm. And I remember his voice in here when I told Jeff. Jeff was the producer as well. I was like, my acting coach is going to hate this, but I will be in your show. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it to the best that I can. Mm-hmm. And so I literally just went in there. They said, just be yourself. We're going to throw you with your friends and just be yourself, be present. And I did that and didn't hold back on anything. And so that's kind of how it rolled for me, at least.
Mm, wow.
My acting coach is, by the way, proud of me now. I just want to say that. I went on his podcast and it was an honor and it was amazing. So
yeah. Well, I have a question on that. Did you feel like you had to play a character or play into this person, like the purse holder or the driver or whatever that role is supposed to be? Did you feel like you had to become that character more than you normally would be?
Look, I think we all act differently when we're around our different group of friends. Mm-hmm. But really, when I'm with that group of friends of mine, I feel really weird sometimes because it's like they live in a whole new world, man. And it's just like so much money and so much flash, and the way they argue and get back at each other is different. You know, like we just don't talk to each other. They're like, we're just going to sit you on the corner right there, or we're going to tell you a later time to come to the party. And it's just like, wow, they really let you know they don't like that person. But so I find that this group of friends brought a different side of me. Like I was way more curious than I ever have been in my life, because I'm like, rich people culture is very different. And so I was really just exploring just for myself. I was like, fuck production, I just want to know.
Yeah.
Like, and they filmed it, and I was just like, oh wow, I didn't know you were going to keep that stuff. I thought you'd be too embarrassed that like the, here's this Asian guy figuring out how to be a rich Asian, and he's not. It just, it all kind of just fell into place then.
The premise of the show is quite authentic. So you did actually meet these people, and they are your friends. So were a lot of the instances like pretty genuine?
Yeah, so the production, the way they like to do it is like, they explained to us it was going to be more like a docuseries. Mm. They like, we want to document your life. We don't want to shoot a TV show. And so I went around telling people, yeah, it's a docuseries, not a reality show. But they shot it like a documentary, very much so, like where it's like, you know, you tell them your life and what's going on and what you want to present and your stories, and they film everything, and they also then tell you like, okay, not everything's going to be in it. And so they pick out like, you know, obviously storylines and stuff. So it was very much like reality docuseries, I would call it. So they always told us, we don't want you to act, because that makes bad reality TV. So everything, you know, if you already did it, we can't film it again. And so they just say, hey, what are plans happening in your life? You know, so Jesse and Cherie were like, oh, I'm having a baby. Great, we're going to have a camera person ready just in case if you give birth, you know, at 1 a.m.
Wow. And they did.
Wow.
And they did.
You know, it's like...
I was very surprised by that one.
Right? Yeah. Like, I didn't feel like I had to do much planning for anything. So I was, they were like, oh, there's a party, you're invited. Great, I can just do that.
So that's an interesting way to position it. It's almost like you felt like a journalist where you're curious and entering this new world.
Yeah.
So for our listeners who haven't watched Bling Empire yet, the premise is that there is this group of people, and all of them are pretty much born into wealthy families, living as multimillionaires, and you know, these very lavish lifestyles. And then Kevin comes in as someone who is a friend from a quote unquote normal background, right? Who actually works a job and pays rent, and you're kind of serving as like the narrator for the viewer and introducing them to this world. So you shared that there were a lot of things that you were curious about. What were a couple of things, or the one thing that you found the most surprising or even the most like challenging about entering this like really foreign world?
I think what was most surprising is I didn't realize how big trust funds were.
Yeah. What is a trust fund for people who don't know, like me?
Right. So a trust fund is, it's kind of like an investment. You don't ever have to put money in. Somebody else puts money in there for you.
Okay.
So imagine me Mel just telling you, you know what, you're cool. I'm going to invest $20 million in your trust fund. You're like, okay, what do I have to do? I'm like, you don't have to do anything. Really? I don't have to do anything? Oh, yeah, and by the way, it's going to grow in value over time, and you're going to get like $20,000 a month because it's a trust fund. You get some return on it, and we give it to you so you can live off of it. And you're like, really? I don't have to do anything? And I'm like, no, that's right. You're just awesome. I just want to give this to you. That's a trust fund.
That's insane.
I know. To me, I thought it was like she was like a sugar baby or something, uh-huh. But she's like, no, my dad does it. And I was like, you mean daddy? Like your daddy? Daddy. And she's like, which daddy? You know? And she's like, no, my dad. I was like, oh, yeah, I want one of those. Those sound nice.
Wait, so people on the show are living off these trust funds then. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah. Anna's got a huge trust fund. Kane, which I found out that he has a trust fund and an allowance. And I'm just like, what?
Wow, double dipping in the pot.
An allowance from who? From his parents?
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like an allowance, like, you know, go out and take the trash and you get $5 a week. It's just more like, hey, thanks for being Kane. Here's an allowance.
Oh, my goodness. Just,
yeah, well, I mean, like, here's the thing, too. Like, he comes from a smaller allowance now, apparently. But it's one of those things where I empathize with him because it's like he's got to work now. Mm-hmm. And I think me and him wouldn't probably get along so well if he didn't have the drive to, like, want to work now. Which is great because it's like I don't really truly understand not working, mm-hmm. Or at least making your own way, and now he kind of has to do it. Yes, mm-hmm. He has the help from his parents, which is great, but it's like I'm never against people having opportunities. It's just like, are you going to use it? Mm-hmm. And so I think what I like about Kane so much is that he's trying to use it, which is great.
I might have missed it on the show. What is his current job, or what is he working on?
Oh, so he wants to do in real estate. He's like building houses, mm-hmm. and selling them. And yeah, me and him just started up like a supplement thing together. So it's just like he wants to dabble in all these little things. I know he has a candle thing going on, and I love candles too.
It's the name Candle.
That is good.
Is it not? Oh no!
Copyright that. Copyright that.
Yeah, can we copyright that and then sell it to him?
Sure. I'll take his allowance.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my god! It's only gonna be 1 month of your allowance for the copyright.
I'm actually surprised too. So after the show, Kevin, like, I'm assuming you could probably have a trust fund now, right?
No! Are you kidding me? Look, I know there was rumors going around like I'm worth a lot, but it's like I have no freaking clue where these people are getting these values from. It feels more like a futures value prediction than the current one, which I'm okay with. Like, I'd like to be worth $19 million someday. That'd be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you gotta start somewhere. Yeah. And you're definitely on that path. So this is awesome.
I hope so.
Over here at ABG, the three of us manage different parts of the business, from finance, social media, to producing the podcast. However, one department we all have our hands in is partnerships. Partnerships in the digital world are super important because this is where a lot of the money to run our business can come from. One huge priority for us is to make sure we can get to a place financially to bring on a team and pay them fairly, so brand deals is a huge avenue for that. With only three of us doing the outreach, on top of creating content weekly, we need help, and that's why we turn to LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is the best version of LinkedIn for sales professionals. Get ready to exceed your 2021 sales goals with the help of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. It's time to reimagine in-person selling and cold calling for the digital world. LinkedIn Sales Navigator gives you 20 monthly email messages, lead recommendations, unlimited searches, actionable insights and news, and access to free courses on LinkedIn Learning. With all this access, it makes our quarterly partnerships goals achievable. Start your 60-day free trial LinkedIn Sales Navigator today by going to linkedin.com/ABG. That's linkedin.com/ABG to start your 60-day free trial of LinkedIn Sales Navigator. linkedin.com/ABG.
The month of February. We get to revel in love for Valentine's Day, family and culture for Lunar New Year, and the start of tax season with the IRS beginning to accept tax returns. I know, many of us dislike doing our taxes, but it's a necessary evil. Whether you want someone to do your taxes for you or answer questions while you do your own, H&R Block is a great option. They're available to answer a quick question, check your work, or do all the work for you. Their experienced tax pros can help via screen share, on-demand chat, and more. Following an unexpected year, your refund matters. For 20% off online tax filings, go to hrblock.com/bossgirl. That's hrblock.com/bossgirl for 20% off online tax filings. After our 100th celebration, it made us miss you all so much, and we just want to find ways to connect with you all even more. This makes me really excited to share that we're starting a weekly live show on Stereo. The Stereo app is a free live broadcast social platform that enables people to have real conversations in real time. As our listeners, you'll be able to record a question and send it directly to us, and we can answer it live. This app allows podcast creators like us to build an even more intimate relationship with our listeners by engaging with y'all in direct conversation. Please join us every week as we catch up, talk about the latest happenings in pop culture, and of course, dive into our Asian American identity. If you want to catch the show, go to our Instagram at Asian Boss Girl, click on the link between our profile, and tap on the link that says Weekly Live Show on Stereo. We'll be hosting the live show every Friday. Again, hit our Instagram account at Asian Boss Girl and click on the link that says Weekly Live Show on Stereo to make sure you get an alert when we go live. Our live show will only be available through the Stereo app, so don't miss out. Once you tune in through our Linktree link, you can create a cute avatar and chat with us directly. Can't wait to see you every Friday on Stereo.
I don't know about you, but it feels like a lot of my friends are now getting on that baby train. If you have a friend who is also expecting or have little ones still in diapers, I always recommend Pampers Swaddlers. With Pampers Swaddlers, you can also rest assured that this diaper will prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Swaddlers has dual leak guard barriers at the legs to help protect where leaks happen most, and they have a blowout barrier, which is an innovative back pocket built into the diaper to help prevent those messy leaks up the back. Did you know that on average, babies will use up to 8,000 plus diapers before becoming potty trained? That is a lot. That's why Pampers Diaper Stash is the hottest baby gift for 2024. So give a gift to a loved one that says, "We see you and we've got you." Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund that all parents with little ones will love. You can organize friends and family to contribute to a group gift of an online stockpile that never has to run out. Pampers Diaper Stash is great because it takes the guesswork out of choosing what size and how many diapers to gift. It's so easy to do, and it's the gift that always fits.
So I want to ask you about Kelly. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure so many people have asked you this question already, but we got to capture it on our podcast too. So the attraction between you and Kelly, you mentioned she reached out to you before the show.
Yeah.
Did that attraction develop then organically, or was this something that the producer sort of prompted?
Yeah, I mean, like, first of all, when I saw her Instagram, I was like, whoa, my quality of women are increasing, you know, after the Huffington Post video. So it was just like, oh, she's cute. Oh, she's got a boyfriend. Yeah, okay. And then it was more like her relationship with her boyfriend was rocky. And, you know, for me being single, I'm when I hear a relationship's rocky, it's just like, oh, okay, like, I'm okay with that. I feel like that's like a signal from women to be like, it's a green light. Mm. But I might have misread that one because I don't know if it really was now that I think about it. But usually it's like, okay, it's going to break up. And, you know, they did eventually. So, yeah, I always told Kelly and Kane, I was like, well, if Kelly was single, I would ask her out. I'd approach her for sure. But we were always under, like, the impression of, like, we'd always make good working partners too eventually. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted to say to her, like, look, we get along just as good as friends. If there is something great, let's pursue it. I think she just remembered the first part because then when I did try to pursue it, she might have forgotten. And so, yeah, there was some, like, physical attraction for me in the beginning. And I wanted to see what happens. Like, she's a catch, you know, in many ways, for sure.
Y'all, Kevin was waiting in the wings for Kelly. That's what happened. He like saw her and was like, oh, she hot, but like, she's dating someone. And then when things are rocky, that's when you're like, okay, you're waiting in the wings, you're like, is the door opening, do I step in now?
Totally. And I met Andrew before. I didn't think that was actually gonna last, like, truthfully. Yeah. I didn't think that was gonna last, so I was like, I'll just wait the rough tides out for a little bit.
We're actually talking to Kelly soon. Mm-hmm.
Soon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you in good relationship with
out.
Kelly?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. You can keep that in. She knows all this stuff too. We talk every day. I mean, not every day. Mm. Actually, me and Kim talk every day, and same with Kane. But like, me and Kelly, we talk at least once or twice a week, checking in. And this is what I always loved about Kelly, and I always genuinely cared about this about her. Like, I knew she was a little bit different than the normal LA person that I've met before and when I visited. She said to me, if you need anything, contact me. Like, if you're feeling lonely, need to go to karaoke, just need to hang out, like, whatever, talk. And she's really good with that. I remember when I first got here, I was just texting her. I was like, hey, so is there anything going on that, like, you're doing tonight that I could join? Because I don't know anybody here. I'm not really close with Kane yet to ask her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, we're doing karaoke with Kane. Like, come join us. So I did it. And I was just like, holy shit. Like, she's really good with her word of, like, stuff. And I'll just text her, just ask her questions of, like, business or whatever she does. And she's always responsive. And she never asked anything from me. And it was, like, cool. Like, it was pretty amazing. Wow.
She seems very down to earth. Okay, one more question on this. Are you on good terms with Andrew?
Kind of not. I mean, like, look, I empathize with Andrew so much because I had that dark side a long time ago, 5 or 6 years. And if I was caught in a reality show, too, with that, I probably would get just as much heat from him. You know, there's a very toxic period in my life. And that's kind of what I meant. Like, people change. You know, I hope he does, too. But there, I don't really talk to Andrew. I still see him as, like, the boyfriend of Kelly. And I don't know. We don't have much in common. Like, I don't do martial arts and play Power Rangers and rap or get into music. Like, there's we just have nothing in common. Except for Kelly. You
know? I can see that. Well, now that you cleared it up that, you know, you're not, you know, chasing Kelly. We're curious. I know a lot of our listeners are also curious about this. Are you currently dating anyone? And how's your love life?
My love life. Oh, my God. It's been wild.
Please do tell.
I don't even know if it's really love, but it's just the life of dating has been quite amazing. Like, I you know, obviously me and Kim have talked every day, and she knows about, you know, some of my new encounters in my life. Sometimes my heart got broken once because I kind of opened myself up to this one girl. This is before the show even released, actually, and kind of got hurt from that a little bit because, you know, I really did have these feelings of, like, you know, this is something that I could see myself in for a while. Now it's totally different. Like, I don't even, you know, I don't think that's ever going to work out, and I'm kind of happy it didn't. But no, dating's been a new challenge in the sense of, like, now it seems like there's so many options and quality options. It's more about, like, kind of like, well, what do I really want now, you know, from these options of people, because they're wonderful and attractive and sexy, and it's like, now it's a different quality problem. Or is it like, do I just want to mess around for a little bit? I don't know. Like, I've never had this many options in my life, so who knows? That's why I'm, like, confused.
I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah, before the show, I was so like, yeah, I want to be with someone, you know. Now the show happened, I'm just like, I've never had this before. Like,
wait, so question.
Yeah,
so,
wait.
For
you go first.
For our listeners. Okay, for our listeners out there, do you check your DMs?
I do. I do check my DMs.
All right.
And that really is me.
Your inbox is now. Okay. Sounds like Kevin's about to enter his fuckboy phase. I don't know.
Oh.
It could be dangerous.
Here's the thing. I didn't even know what a fuckboy was until a year ago. And I was like, am I a fuckboy? I don't think I am.
You might become one.
Yeah. And I'm like, man, I don't think I've ever had one before. Like, I've always been that hopeless romantic chasing a girl. Like, hey, why don't you want to be with me? Like, why don't you show that you want to be with me too? Right. It always just didn't seem like it was both ways. And now it's more like the opposite. It's like the floodgates are open. Girls want to be with me. But also, too, it's like, what do they want to be with me for? Like, you did watch it. Like, I'm not the crazy rich one, you know? Yeah. Like, or did you read that article that said I was worth 19 million?
Yeah. It's like, that's true.
I actually remember when we were in New York and I was talking to you, and you were so sad. I think it was about probably the last girl that you were with, and you were super emo. You're like, I'm just going to go sit on a train and go somewhere. I was like, wait, you should just come out to our after party where all of our friends are going to be and hang out. And you're like, no, I think I want to be alone. I was like, oh my God. I felt so bad for you.
New York reminds me too much of my ex. And it's just like, it's still kind of like, that was the girl that kind of like really broke my heart. And, you know, still talking about it, obviously, I think there's a little bit of healing, you know, still. You know, we were supposed to move here to LA together and have a career. And I realized it wasn't meant to be because I tell you what, if I was with her, there's no way this would happen. But there's still a little bit of like, I really put it all in for her. And I do believe there's something that you really kind of can't get back once you do that so many times and you poured your heart into it.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit more reserved with that. And, you know, I get hurt easier probably because it just like, it just keeps going on. It's just like, I think this last girl that happened before the show, it's like, it was just more of, she would tell me she liked me, but she didn't show it, you know, and it was just very, you know, I don't even treat friends like the way she treated me. So I was just kind of in a weird space at that time. But now it's, it's like, I don't have to, and I don't think anybody should have to deal with this stuff anyway, but like now I really don't have to deal with that shit. And so I really don't want to put up with it. And, you know, I think that's where I realize now looking back when I put up with a lot of shit. And more normal people probably wouldn't have. And I'm just like, you know, I don't have to. I don't want to. So
that's a very positive, valuable lesson to take away from it. It sounds like it's more just looking at then for the women that are approaching you, what is their incentive or what are what is their motive, I guess.
And I think most women and men don't have to wait for them to be on television to do that. It's just that it had to happen for me, you know, like where I was like, okay, like, there are options out there. There are people that want to be with me, you know, and or just date and stuff. So
has your ex reached out to you since the show?
No, I kind of wish she would have, though. But no, I've had one ex reach out. But actually one ex that I wanted to hear from because we were friends. We were very good friends before we dated. I really messed up. Like, I really messed up. Like, not just as an ex, but as a friend more than anything, too. And when she reached out, she was just telling me how it's great that it seems like you're really finding your place and your comfort zone. And I was like, yeah, I'm so glad you reached out because, you know, we made the, you know, we kind of healed like the past. And I just said, I was in a really fucked up place. Like, I didn't know who I was. I was insecure. Like, I was immersed in this white world and I'm Asian and I'm just so confused what I'm supposed to be doing. And I knew what I was doing. It was not meant to be doing. And she's like, no, look, I get it. And I'm happy for you. And I said I was happy for her, too, because she has a kid now, a beautiful kid. And it was just, it was so nice because the show brought so many magic moments like that that I know wouldn't have been possible without it, you know?
I have a question for you, Kevin. You kind of mentioned this earlier. So, you know, we asked about your dating life, and you're mentioning Kim, and you're saying you guys connect so well. I thought you were going to allude to the fact that you're dating Kim now.
Oh, yeah, I know. We get that a lot. And my thing is, too, it's like, Kim really went through some mourning stuff. Like, that was super transformative and intense for her. I thought about making some group, but it was like, I really felt like I'd be some scumbag, like totally jumping in to a person's life while she's vulnerable. And I'm like, yo, you better think about this twice, because if you fuck this up, this is not just some girl, she's a good friend of yours. Like, don't go into it like you did with Kelly and jump in so quickly. So she really had this mourning period where we talked a lot, and we talked about her dad, and just the miracle of us having this show to even go through that together, and just saying like how, you know, it's like it was meant to be. She's Buddhist too. It's like, you know, whatever's meant to be will always be. And she's like, this was one of those moments, you know, she never would have gone through with this. And it did bring us closer. And but now we're kind of just like, you know, she thinks I'm not ready because I have all these girls DMing me. And I'm like, no, I'm ready for you. And then I'm like, but wait, am I? I don't know.
Oh, man. If it's not a yes, it's a no.
It's getting sloppy.
And Kevin, we do have an episode, if you know, if you're thinking about going to that fuckboy route, we do have an episode that maybe, you know, we talk about this, if you want
to. Oh, I would love to join this.
It was the second episode of our podcast ever. So this came out in like 2018.
We should do version 2.0.
Oh no. My goodness. Please don't.
I will let you know that the fuckboys that we had on got a lot of flack afterwards for.
I don't think I'm a fuckboy though. I don't think I am.
We'll hit you up in about a year and see.
Yeah. And I'll listen to the podcast over again and be like, nope, yep, who knows? So.
Yeah, more than 50%. Let us know.
Thank you so much for sharing your love life with us. Honestly speaking, though, it does sound like this does pose an interesting transition for you as someone who is. Been more of kind of looking for a long-term relationship and then going into this world and the setting in your life where now you have all these options And so I am actually quite honestly curious to talk to you in about a year to see where you are, because there's no wrong answer, right? But it's interesting to be able to experience that, I think, in the path of you like figuring out who you are and what you want for your future. And it's very possible that that could totally change from where you were 5 years ago.
Yeah, like in an ideal world for me, it would have been amazing to have found that person before the show launched, like right before. That's me and in my ideal world. But it's like, now I have to kind of deal with like, okay, most likely some of the girls that hit me up, especially on social media, already know who I am, and it's going to be a little awkward. Yeah. And kind of got to filter that through and just see what people's real intentions are. And if it's real, because it's like, I don't feel different. I mean, I feel like Kevin, just more like, oh, now whatever I say, it's like there's a little bit more of an amplified voice. It's like people listen now or kind of are interested. And so I find that to be comforting, because my message and everything's never changed. So now I feel like I have a chance to actually have that message to come out to more people and to have a little bit more of a change in people and for the good, you know, like to see Asians in a different light. And I think that's wonderful. But now it's more like, okay, so this person, like, what do they have these expectations of me? Like, I hope they see me as human, where, like, I do have days where I just am cranky and don't feel like talking to people or, you know, I'm quiet or not funny sometimes or whatever. Or, you know, that's probably 90% of my day anyways, like, just sitting, not talking, you know, like, are they okay with that? Because, no, I've had that before where it's like, I met girls on social media before the show even happened. And it's like, I'm just sitting there just minding my own business. And they're like, is everything okay? And I'm like, this is me 90% of the time. Like, I'm not talking, you know, like, did I say something to you to make you feel that way? Like just, it's these weird expectations that they think that I'm always on, like I am on the show or all these podcasts. That can be pretty frustrating to me. And it's just like, yeah, I just want the person to see me for who I really am. Like, that's a part of me. I hope you like that part of me, but I also hope you like this too, because that's going to be me most of the time around you.
Do you know what your Myers-Briggs is?
Yeah, my Myers-Briggs, I'm a ENTJ.
Oh.
Extrovert, intuitive, thinker, and judger. That sounds so horrible. I hated when I heard that, but there I am judging it.
That's okay. We're J's.
You're all J's?
Two of us are J's, and Helen's a P.
Helen's a P.
I'm a P. ESFP.
What's that, perceiver?
Yeah, perceiving. Yeah, perceiving. Yeah.
Yes.
More.
I ask you the question, more for our listeners than for me.
Oh, I was just curious. I'm like, what are you girls? Like, I want to know this. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm an ESFPA.
Yeah, I know the E changed for me, though. I used to be an I about 10 years ago, and I retook the test, so now I'm more of an E.
I am an INFJ, sometimes INTJ.
And I'm ENFJ.
Wow. Gotcha. Y'all are very similar to Kevin.
Oh. Are we?
Or the N and the J. So intuitive and judging. Mm.
I've never really figured that out, like who's compatible for what. I just thought they were cool just to like know about yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-oh, now everybody knows so much about me. I'm a Leo. I'm year of the boar, the pig in Chinese zodiac.
He's pretty much just building out a dating profile on the podcast. We're going to get more DMs, more flooding messages.
Speaking of identity, you are ethnically Korean.
Yes.
And you were born in South Korea, adopted and raised in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And you shared this on Bling Empire and also previously to that in different outlets as well. We'd love to hear from you, though. What was it like growing up in Philadelphia as a Korean-American kid? Like, how would you describe Kevin in high school?
Angry. Angry is just a word that I think Philadelphians can relate to. Mm. I mean, I think just being in Philadelphia, a lot of people are angry just in general. I think it's partially the weather, the city, you know, it's not very clean. There's a big homeless population that needs to be fixed too, and education system, like all of these things that we, you know, as Philadelphians get angry about. But then for me, it was placed on top of it, going to a private Catholic in high school that's predominantly white and not really understanding why you feel different and you're treated different. But you're told that you won't be treated different by the white people because you're like an honorary white person or you're not really Asian. And so you kind of hear this your whole life. You don't think that you are, but you are. And then you're just this conflicting message and identity, but then also a desire to want to be cool and seen in a good light, and usually it's just white people in that sense. And then coming home and not having parents that want to actually see their child be treated a certain way because of race, not actually believing it actually themselves, because like, who would do that? You're like, we see you as your son. Like, you're not ugly. You know, you are athletic. You are all these things. You're smart. Like, why would they treat you differently? Like, that makes no sense. And to other outsiders, it sounds like my parents thought I was making it up. No, they weren't making it up. They just really couldn't understand it, because they were like, you're our son. Like, why would they treat you like you're a foreigner? You're not a foreigner. You're American. You know, you have no citizenship anywhere else. Like, what would they think you are? And then I was like, they think I'm Chinese. They think we're all Chinese and stuff like that. And they're like, but you're Korean. Just tell them you're Korean. I was like, I try to, you know. So it's very confusing, and you don't really have an outlet to talk to or hear things growing up, because now I think it's different because of social media, podcasts like this where you can talk about identity. So openly, and I think one of these podcasts probably would have changed me in so many ways. You know, you don't feel so connected when there's no internet back then or social media, and you don't see Asians. You know, you do feel like the only Asian at the table or in the world even. So it's a very difficult situation to be in 20, 30 years ago. I think it's much easier now. One of the producers, actually Jeff Jenkins, he has a nephew who's Asian and Korean adopted, and he recently watched the show. He's really young, and he's like, yo, look, that person looks like me, literally. And it was so nice to see that, because I've seen people who look like me, but they were humiliating to watch on TV. You know, and it's like, it always reminded me of like my flaws that I always had, or what kids made fun of me for. And you know, it's like growing up in a white community, and being by white parents, you don't see Bruce Lee as a role model. Actually, I never did, because I didn't see all the things that he struggled with. They don't teach you that in school or education. You just saw the people using the noises and his gestures to mock you or make fun of you. So that wasn't really complimentary to me. And now I have a different perspective on him. I see the struggles, I see his wisdom and philosophy, and I admire that. But back then, when I was a kid in a white world like this, you just didn't see it.
At what point in your life do you feel like you got to a place of accepting the fact that you are Korean and that you are proud of it? Because I could tell, like, you're very proud to be Asian.
I think the turning point really got to me when, actually, it was around the time when I broke up with my ex. 6 years ago or something at the time, I was really learning more about Vietnamese culture and just looking at her, and she was so proud to be Asian. And she was one of the first Asians that I met. One of them. I've met many Asians, obviously, but one of the first Asian Americans that I met that didn't look down on Asian men as inferior. And it was like one of these things where she was even pissed off, where like Asian girls would talk about shit on their own kind and think that white guys are better and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I was like, wow, like, she's proud of it. Like, I get it. Like, I love that. And so I started to dive deep more into it, and it kind of, it didn't click like this. It was just more like, oh, slowly get into it. But you know, every day seems to be something that challenges that, though, right? There's always this, I have to accept the way the world is, but how much of it can I actually contribute to the change? And really be in a right mindset with that, because I don't want to think I can change everybody's mind on that. That's just, like, egotistical, right? Like, but where's my part that I can do to contribute to that? And that's really hard, because sometimes I do feel more American than Asian at times, you know, and there are times that I feel way more Asian than American. And so for me, it's really hard to choose. It's not like I can just chop this part of me out and just say, this is Asian, this is not. It's like, really, like, I'm very Americanized, and I used to find shame in that, but I realized, like, there's no shame in that. Like, that's my history. That's my background. That's my family. I'm not ashamed of my American family. To say I'm ashamed of being Americanized is like putting shame on my family. And it's not true. They raised me really well, like with very good values. And I know I wouldn't be here without their parenting and values and stuff. So I identify with the Asian struggle as well, the Asian identity. And that's what I really love about being Asian is like we have this platform now to be able to make us see what we have in common, not what we have that's different about us. And I think that's where I really struggle with some of the critics, right? Because, you know, sometimes a lot of them will be like, oh, this isn't good representation because it's rich people, such bad timing. And I was like, you're looking for the one thing that makes us different in this. But if you look underneath that, there's so many things that we have in common with the show, the themes, the people, the behaviors, the emotions, the things that we want with our family. Like, why aren't you looking at that for the representation? The mental health. Mm-hmm. You're just looking at this is bad timing because it's wealthy and we don't want to be seen as wealthy. It's like, man, there's so many people who reached out to me that didn't just say, oh, thanks for the wealth. You know, it was like you're just fun, you know? I know I'm going off a little bit on that, but it's one of those things that really make me proud to be Asian when something like this, like Bling Empire comes out, Warrior comes out, Minari comes out, like all of these great TV shows and movies. Like when Warrior come, I know we're talking about Bling, but when Warrior 2 came out, and I was just like, I got so excited and so hyped and proud, like of everything, that I couldn't sleep whenever I watched it. It got me so hyped, right?
Same, Philip and I just started watching, and it's done so well, and it makes me so proud to be Asian. It's so good, and it's not tropey. It's not, you know, it makes us look really good.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of those martial arts things that make me proud that we are known for martial arts, you know?
Yeah.
I can't say that with every movie, you know? Like, Last Samurai didn't do that for me. But it was just, it was something to be really proud of that I think the Asian community should speak more about. And not so much about when they see something like a wealthy thing like Bling Empire or Crazy Rich, they're really talkative and want to spread the word on that, the negativity, but you don't hear them when Warrior comes out. It's just like, you really are in this for the cause or for representation? You know, where are you on this one?
No, that's a good point. And, you know, Kevin, I'm interested because, like, speaking about your background, you know, we know you're a model and actor, and that really plays into the role of Asian representation. Like, when did you know you wanted to become a model and an actor, and how did you begin and involve in the industry from when you started until now?
I always wanted to do modeling because I wanted the proper representation for an Asian male image, because I didn't really see any, obviously, just like a lot of people. But then when I first saw an Asian guy, that I was like, oh, he's attractive and he's a model. Daniel Liu, I have him in the documentary I'm in, The Ugly Model, as like the first guy that gave me the inspiration that this is possible. So because I know when I first saw him, it gave me the inspiration to know what was possible. I carried that through everything I did. I was like, okay, well, we're the actors, you know? I always thought of being a model or an actor someday and just being what I saw on television and experiencing it. And I just said, well, if I felt that inspired and I felt hopeful with it, it should do it for other people. So whenever I do modeling or do these photos and stuff, like or being myself on Bling Empire and taking my shirt, it's really rarely ever to be like, hey, look at me, look at the six pack. It's like, well, I just want people to know what's possible for Asian men, that we don't have to play these stereotypes, that we can be fun and playful and sexy. We can be seen as sexy, right? And I want other Asian men to be like, oh, I could be that too. Like, I don't have to be pigeonholed into what media thinks I should be, right? And so it's really just about inspiring and letting people know what's possible for us.
We've all got goals. Be healthy, find work-life balance, improve our relationships. But have you thought about your hair goals? Real talk, if you don't love your hair, then you need to break up with your current hair care routine. And if you're looking for something different, I suggest trying out Function of Beauty. Function of Beauty is the world leader in customizable beauty, offering precise formulations for your hair's specific needs. Here's how it works. First, you take a quick but thorough quiz and tell them a little bit about your hair type and your hair goals, such as lengthen, volumize, and oil control. And because your hair changes with the season, you can change your hair goals before every shipment. Next, Function of Beauty's team determines the right blend of ingredients for your hair, and they'll bottle your custom formula and deliver it right to your door in a cute, customized bottle mixed in your favorite color. They'll even print your name on it, so it's even more customized for you. Every ingredient Function of Beauty uses is vegan and cruelty-free, and they never use sulfates or parabens. You can go completely silicone-free too. Never buy off the shelf just to be disappointed ever again. Go to functionofbeauty.com/ABG to take your quiz and save 20% on your first order. That applies to their full range of customized hair, skin, and body products. Go to functionofbeauty.com/ABG to let them know that we sent you and to get 20% off your order. functionofbeauty.com/ABG.
Along with other digital brands, one thing we spend a lot of time on is social media. From ideation to execution, we like to create everything with intention. However, one part that no one sees that is super time-consuming is reformatting. I can't tell you how many times I had to redesign something because of the different dimensions. Now with Issue, I don't have to worry about that anymore. With Issue, you could create it once and distribute it everywhere. Everything is optimized to post on your website and social platforms like Instagram and Facebook. They can even help you make animated Instagram stories. Issue is the all-in-one platform to create and distribute beautiful digital publications from brochures to magazines and more. It's perfect for creators, marketers, designers, educators, publishers, salespeople, or anyone that wants to make eye-catching content. Get started with Issue today for free, or if you sign up for a premium account, you'll get 50% off when you go to issue.com/podcast and use promo code ABG. That's ISSUU.com/podcast and use promo code ABG at checkout for your free account or 50% off your premium account. That's issue.com/podcast with promo code ABG.
When the cold weather keeps us inside, one of my favorite ways to mentally escape is to curl up and get lost in a show, sipping on my hot milk tea, sometimes with boba, even though it melts, and a soft, cuddly blanket. And nothing feels more transportive when I'm stuck indoors than watching TV from across the pond. Watching shows from around the world gives you a feeling of connectedness to people outside of your own bubble, and I know we're all craving that connection nowadays. That's why we have Acorn TV. Acorn TV is a streaming service that's rooted in British television. It has a rich catalog of exclusive, award-winning series across genres, including mysteries, dramas, comedies, and so much more. From production to performances, the series you'll find on Acorn TV are exceptional because they're cleverly written, visually striking, and feature renowned actors like David Tennant and Tandy Newton. If you're a fan of quirky British comedy, then The Other One is a must-watch. It follows two sisters from very different worlds who had no idea The Other One existed until their father drops dead. Plus, with Acorn TV, you get thousands of hours of new, refreshing content for a fraction of the cost compared to most streaming services at just $5.99 a month. We watch Acorn TV from either our laptops in bed or on our TV, and in our household, we've been watching a show called Loch Ness. Escape to Britain and beyond without leaving your seat. Try Acorn TV free for 30 days by going to acorn.tv and use our promo code ABG. That's ACORN.TV, code ABG, to get your first 30 days for free. Kevin, thank you so much for sharing your story. We know you're not going to satisfy everyone's image of what they want an Asian man to be like, but we love how genuine and authentic and grounded mm-hmm. and real you really are. And thank you for showing us that today on this podcast.
You're welcome.
Yeah. What is one
piece of
advice?
That sounded so sad. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I know. I was like, no, you're welcome.
Thank you. Well, what is one piece of advice that you've picked up throughout your life, your career, that you always go back to and that you would want to share with our listeners?
I always go back to, no matter what, where you are in your life, like how hard things are or hopeless it seems, like it will present itself in the future, that it'll be useful to other people and yourself. There's a purpose to all of that. 'Cause I definitely didn't believe it for a while, but I kept telling myself there's a purpose for this pain. There's a purpose for failure or the uncertainty or self-doubts, and it'll appear itself someday, and it really has lately. So just you just never know when it's going to show up.
That's great advice. And Kevin, what is next for you? Like, is there a Bling Empire season 2?
I hope.
And where can people find you to maybe not slide through your DMs or maybe to slide through your DMs, I guess?
I really hope, first of all, that there is a season 2 because there's so much to explore. But I really do see myself more in writing. I want to write more of my stories, memoirs, scripts, TV, movie ideas. So especially as a Korean adoptee, I think those stories are very underrepresented in just Hollywood in general, and I'd like to bring that to life. But also, too, people can definitely slide into my DMs. But I would say this. Try to say something different than, like, hi, you're hot, or I saw you on Bling Empire. Say something different, you know? One thing that drew my attention is some girl literally just said, hey, let's go out for coffee. Just something normal.
Oh, and my gosh. Now everyone's going to be saying that.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? Everybody's like, coffee is like...
You'd have 20 cups of coffee in a day.
Oh, God. I'm going to be so jittery. They'll be like, why are you so jittery? I was like, this is my fourth date and coffee. But yes, I love coffee dates.
Thanks again for joining us today, Kevin. We loved getting to chat with you and having you share your perspective and your story with our listeners. Congratulations again on all of the success that you're experiencing with Bling Empire and beyond. And we are hoping there's a season 2 and we'll be following along in your journey. And to our listeners, if you enjoyed this chat with Kevin, leave us a diamond emoji in the comments.
Or a coffee emoji.
Or a coffee.
Is there a coffee emoji?
One of the two.
Yes.
There is. Yeah. Coffee or diamond or both. And we have some shout-outs this episode. Brianna from the Bay Area wishes a happy Founders Day to her Katie Fi sisters. Angela from Houston sending a shout-out to Christine. Thanks for being such an amazing sister and always being there for me through these times. I miss you and I hope this brightens your day. Chanel from San Jose says, hi Nandini, I know you're listening. I just wanted to thank you for being my friend throughout these years. I'm so happy to have you in the Bay again and hopefully we can see each other more once COVID's over. To Helena from Sela in Toronto, hope you are taking care of yourself well during your busy tax season. To Ruby, whose birthday is on February 15th, your Fit Fam in Toronto is wishing you the happiest birthday. Catherine wishes a happy 25th birthday to Amanda. I'm so lucky to have a friend like you in my corner. I can't wait to watch you shine in what I know will be a really pivotal year for you. To Jesse Barra from Thomas in Fremont, California, you are an amazing and beautiful capybara, and I still can't believe that I get to spend the rest of my life with you. I look forward to the good times ahead of us, as well as the difficult ones, as long as I get to go through them with you by my side. If you'd like to send a shout out to a friend, check out our link tree and our link in bio on our Instagram at Asian Boss Girl and click on shout outs.
For links and codes to partners we shared in today's episode, please see our show notes. And for more partnership discounts, head to our website. And if you want to support us, here are some ways you can do so. Follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with your friends. And if you'd like to support us through monthly donations to help keep this podcast running, you can do so at anchor.fm/AsianBossGirl/support or get some merch at AsianBossGirl.myshopify.com.
Thank you to our super talented editor, Michelle, for working all her magic on our episodes, including this one.
Thanks for joining us, and we will catch you all on the next episode. Bye!
Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of ABG. I'm popping in real quick to remind y'all to check out our live podcast tomorrow on the Stereo app. Like I mentioned earlier, we really want to interact with our listeners more, and Stereo is the way we're doing it. Join us every week on Fridays as we let loose and chat about whatever's on our mind. Last week, Hel and I were able to throw it back to the 90s, and we shared our stories from AIM. We also got to hear our listeners' voices for the first time, which was so cool. Again, we'll be going live tomorrow, so check our show notes for the link right after this episode. See y'all there!